This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick here. Dr. Joe Eastman is going to join us at about 3:33. He's our COVID model guy. This guy is great. He's very smart. And he analyzes a lot of numbers, and he does a lot of math, and he puts a lot of things together, and he gets a really good idea of where we're at with COVID. And we get to talk about monkeypox, so we're not just dating one virus now. Anywho, we'll talk to him a little bit later on. Patrick, how are you today? Hey, everything's going here.
Doing pretty well. Pretty good. It's a Friday for the rest of the world, but not for me.
Oh, gosh. I hate these Friday night games where we're out in the West Coast. The Twins are out in with San Diego. And what time does that time of that game start at now?
9 o'clock tonight, Central Time.
I'll catch that first pitch. I was sitting back. This is a Friday. You know, one of those things where I'm just relaxing. I'm looking forward to a kind of a light show. Dr. Joe stopping by. I was going through the list of festivals. I got some festivals we'll talk about coming up here in Wisconsin, Minnesota this weekend. We'll give you our best bets on that here. And thinking to myself, hey, thank gosh there's not a lot of news to talk about today. Son of a... Then my phone decided to go wacko. Cray cray. All right. Now I'm going to talk about this because this is a national story. I'm talking about it though more in a cautionary tale than as a let's talk just about Minnesota politics, because I understand we got a lot of people listening in Madison, Waukesha, Milwaukee, around the globe. Hola. I get it. But there are times where a story, and trust me, this story has become a national story. I don't know why he didn't think this was going to become a national story, but it became a national story. And I have got a conservatively 50, maybe more listeners who immediately are like, what? I am now, because they redistricted in Minnesota, I used to be represented by Ilhan Omar in the Minnesota 5th. I have changed to the Minnesota 3rd District. And if you are not familiar with the Twin Cities, this is basically the west side of Minneapolis, Lake Minnetonka area. It's not so concise, but basically the west side of the metro area. It's been trending more and more Democrat over the years. I mean, it wasn't that long. It was a Jim Ramstead seat for many years, a Republican. And he was quite loved. As a matter of fact, I think one of the reasons he left the office was because he was he saw where the Republican Party was going and didn't want any real part of it. Not saying that he didn't have some issues himself, but eventually it was going to get to a point where the Democrats were going to be able to hold that seat. And two election cycles ago, in 2018, Dean Phillips was the candidate. We had him in studio back then. He was, this young upcoming Democrat that was looking to make a splash, and he won, and he won again the next time. And yeah, now it is a district that is, does lean a little bit, it's Democrat, but it's got a lot of Republicans in it. It's got, if you know Lake Minnetonka, if you know these lakes on the west side, there's a lot of money over there. And so you get a lot of conservatives on that side, but still far more Democrats. You do. And that district only became more Democrat after the redistricting. It is. It's more Democrat now. So it is. And I want to make sure I say this from the get-go. Dean Phillips was going to win that race. Is going to win that race hands down. Dean Phillips is going to win that race hands down. That was never a question. Might be a little bit closer now. But anyway, he's been one of those moderate Democrats, and I've been very vocal. I'm not a big fan of moderates because moderates at times, when it's time for their bill to get passed, they always look at the progressive and the left side of the party. It's like, hey, teammates, Hey, buddy, you're all going to vote for my bill, right? This is, we're all big, one big Democratic Party, arm in arm down the street. That's what we're doing, right, guys? It's my bill. But then when someone puts out something that could be popular, but is more progressive than he's comfortable with, it's, ooh, yeah, you know, there are three Republicans that won't let me sit with them at the lunch table if I vote for that bill, so I'm sorry. Loony lefty, not me, so I'm gonna, I'll let you know when it's time to vote for my bill, but no, I can't help you there. Now, it's not so linear, but you get the point. You get the point. That there's a lot of moderate Democrats that forget they're Democrats when the rest of the party comes calling. They love the Democratic Party. They love the Democratic voters when it's time to vote for them. They love the Democratic Party when it's they love the Democratic Party when it's it's time to get their bill passed. They need sponsorship. They need people to push it. But, you know, it's the field analogy, I've said, in that moderate Democrats have a tendency, they're in this one big large field, and way over on the other side of the same field is Bernie Sanders, way over there. But right on the other side of that fence over there are some people who say they're moderate Republicans, and they're right on the other side of the fence. So it's to a point I understand they say to themselves, I'm kind of closer to them than I am to them. But you're still part of the Democratic Party, and you're not helping. Let me give you the definition of the term unforced error. U.S. Representative Dean Phillips, who represents the 3rd Congressional District in Minnesota, does not want to see Joe Biden run for re-election in 2024. On an interview, he wants Biden leading the country for a second. He asked if he wants Biden leading the country for a second term. Phillips lauded Biden as a man of decency, quote, but said the U.S. needs a new generation of compelling, well-prepared, dynamic Democrats to step up. I have respect for Joe Biden. This is a quote. I have respect for Joe Biden. I think he has, despite some mistakes and missteps, despite his age. I think he's a man of decency, a good principle of compassion and empathy and strength. But to answer your question directly, which I know is quite rare, no, I don't, Phillips said in the Thursday interview. I think the country would be well served by a new generation of compelling, well-prepared, dynamic Democrats to step up. And with that, I hope to see the resurgence of the principled center-right Republican Party reform. Phillips, 53, believes most of his colleagues feel the same. Joe Biden has served our country admirably with principle and with decency at a time when we surely needed it, but I'm part of a caucus here in the Congress where the three top leaders are over 80 years old, where the president will be over 80 the next election, and I think it's time for the generational change. I'm not shy to say that I believe most of my colleagues feel the same way. Biden taking heat from his own party comes on the heels of the president's falling approval numbers. Phillips, who is up for re-election against a Republican, Tom Wheeler, said the country focuses on the 2024 presidential election should be about voting in a person of character, regardless of party affiliation. What? We cannot allow Donald Trump or one of his minions to return the White House for this country. We need people of principle. Let them be Democrats or Republicans in the White House. So once again, you get this. You know, hey, Republicans, I'm kind of like you. Hey, as long as it's a principled Republican, I'm on board with that. Wow. Wow. And I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, I know I'm paraphrasing. Sweet Jesus. So, I immediately call his media guy in D.C. Because, I mean, literally, I get inundated with, are you going to have him on? Are you going to ask him the question? Are you going to do this? Now, I already know. I think it was a lark. He was going to come on anyway. He said he was going to come on. I was at the 4th of July parade in Edina. He came up to me and said, I'll come on the show. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I would hope he would. But, you know, clearly this is a guy that, you know, being on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota is probably, that's bad branding, man. They're going to think you're a liberal. They're going to call you a freaking liberal anyway, man. Grow a spine, dude. Come on. Anyway. Yeah, you can tell I'm a little miffed. I contacted him. And I said, "Hi, Matt McNeil here from AM 950 Minneapolis, St. Paul. I was wondering if Representative Phillips had time today to address his comments about being against Joe Biden running for a second term. To say there's interest from the left is an understatement." And so the offer was made. The response I had, this is from his media guy for his campaign. "Thank you for reaching out, Matt. We are going to decline this request and direct you to this statement." So here is the statement. I will read this. "As we navigate domestic division and build a bright, prosperous, and secure future of America, I believe it's time for a new generation of dynamic Democratic leadership in Congress and in the White House. Under no condition can we afford another 4 years of Donald Trump. And while Joe Biden was clearly the right candidate in the right time 2 years ago, it's my hope that both major parties put forward a new candidate of principled civility and integrity in 2024. Congressman Dean Phillips once again dancing on the edge of a razor because those Republicans might want me to jump in and sit with them at lunchtime. Oh, boy." Now, in his comments about Joe Biden, one of the things that, at least this is the first thing that popped out, is that you understand Joe Biden has created 9 million jobs, got unemployment to 3.6, ended the 20-year war in Afghanistan. It's tied at he allowed it to happen. The $1.29 trillion American Rescue Plan, the $1.2 trillion infrastructure law, the first major gun law in 30 years. He confirmed 69 federal judges. And as well, he protected American technology in the last week. He has also got, it looks like they're going to get some health care reform going in and climate change addressed. And he has saved countless millions when he came into office after that stain on our democracy and basically put together a COVID response team and was successful at it. Yeah, he's had a pretty good first 2 years, and you missed that in your statement, Representative, if I may. It'll take a break. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming to you live on Double Radio in Madison, Wisconsin, 1580 a.m. In Columbus, Waukesha, 540 a.m. WAUK and 101 FM Shaw, as well as Milwaukee area, and of course in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So no, and nowhere in Dean Phillips' statement does he make the comment that, wow, actually Joe Biden's actually gotten a ton done. And as a matter of fact, if I can be so bold, Joe Biden's actually got, you know, if you go back and look at Polk, President Polk, and granted, there was the European domination thing. And, there's clearly a lot of, some issues now that with what we know now, we can go back and be critical of. But when you just look at what that guy was able to accomplish, the amount of tasks he was able to accomplish while in office for 4 years, Joe Biden is starting to get up there to where he is actually achieving an insane amount of stuff. And that should have been part of your answer. As opposed to talking about the other, I hope the other side of the aisle feels good today. Are you feeling all right? Can I rub your feet? As opposed to that crap, maybe you talk about the infrastructure law, the first major gun law, the fact that they just had a major breakthrough on healthcare and climate change. And, once again, after Trump left no infrastructure in place to deal with COVID, Joe Biden came in and got on the ground running right away and saved probably millions of people. He did. But hey, who needs to mention all that? My real problem with Dean Phillips doing this is this. It's just dumb, man. It's just dumb. Okay. I'm not going to say that Dean Phillips can't want someone else to be president in 2024. That's perfectly within his right. I still have yet to make up my mind on that issue. I do. I think that he makes a valid point. Dean Phillips makes a valid point that we have a lot of younger people out there, and younger in Washington, D.C. is 55. But we have younger people there that maybe should be given some of these leadership roles. Agreed. The problem is you're doing this now? There is no reason for you to do this now. Seriously, Dean, you're going to win the Minnesota 3 seat. You might win it by a little bit less a majority now, seriously, because you've made some Democrats mad. And by the way, no, trust me, I've seen the other side of the aisle. And to a point, this is the benefit that he gets, and he knows it, is that I'm smart enough not to not vote for Dean Phillips. I will vote for the guy because he's my House member. But this is just boneheaded, man. And it's selfish. What are you just trying to do? Is there someone on the west side of Lake Minnetonka that's got a big old mansion and lots of money? Or is it some Republican friends of yours? Like, hey, man, you know, you should go on out there and throw them under the bus. You don't have to do this. You did not have to do this now. You could have waited for the day after the freaking election and done this. But now, because you're being selfish for no reason, you are not going to lose that seat, dude. You basically go on out there, and the damage you have done is not to your race. Heck, I'm sure that you'll get some accolades from the boat parade on Lake Minnetonka. I'm sure they'll give you the accolades. No, the problem is you've just made a freaking mess for every other damn Democrat. That's selfish, man. It's just plain selfish. Every Democrat that's running in your district for a Minnesota House or a Minnesota Senate race, you know what they now get to answer? Hey, are you like Dean Phillips? Are you on his side or are you on Biden's side? Are you on his side or on Biden's side? Are you on his side or on Biden's side? Ettinger down in one in the special election, what comes up here in just a few days. Are you with Dean Phillips or are you with Joe Biden? Are you with Dean Phillips or are you with Joe Biden? Every freaking other Democrat that's running for office. Are you with Dean Phillips or are you with Joe Biden? Are you with Dean Phillips or are you with Joe Biden? You didn't need to do this, man. Unforced error. You could have just waited till the election. There's no reason. You're not going to lose this seat, man. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do this. And don't give me this crap about integrity and principle. Bull. We all know you're a moderate. We know that there are some Democrats out there, and you do your best to throw Biden under the bus and back it up over him again. You don't mention any of the good things the guy does. No, all you have done is created a mess for other Democrats. Everyone's reporting on this. CNN, The Hill, Fox News. Oh, I mean, imagine, are you going to be on Fox and Friends tomorrow? You can talk about how you hope the Republicans get a really nice guy for their nominee. This is just done. Let me get, okay, for and putting Dean aside for a second, to all other Democrats, every other Democrat out there, I'm going to give you the answer that he should have given. And it will help you out to get through this, through the election cycle. Ask directly if you want Biden leading the country for a second term. You know what? Here's your answer. Right now, I am focused on November of 2022. I am trying to win this race. We have got to win back make sure we get a bigger majority in the U.S. House. We got to get a few more seats in the U.S. Senate so that we can get more things done under the current president, which is Joe Biden. And or I'm trying to help my local House or Senate or Assembly or whatever. I'm trying to help those candidates as well get elected. I am focused on November 2022. Ask me after the election. Ta-da! Ta-frickin-da, man! How hard is that? God, this is just dumb. D-U-M dumb. It is. It's just dumb. You're not going to lose this. You didn't have to do the pander to the right thing, man. You didn't have to do that. You have the right to disagree with Biden and support someone else in the upcoming election. But after this election, now you've just basically thrown every other Democratic candidate out there to where we can't talk about making sure women have their rights anymore. We can't talk about the climate change bill or trying to make healthcare cheaper or that infrastructure bill. We can't talk about that because thanks to Dean Phillips, everyone's first question now is going to be, are you with Dean Phillips or are you with Joe Biden? Are you with Dean Phillips or are you with Joe Biden? So once again, you know what? I'm focused on the election of 2022. After that election, I'll let you know what I think. But right now, my main goal is this election. You didn't need to do this. I am, as a matter of fact, I'm gobsmacked on why you did this. The only thing I can think of is selfishness. That's the only thing I can think of. That you wanted to win by a larger margin in your district, which you were already going to win, and you're still probably going to win. But here you are. And maybe this is the point. You want this audio so you can go out to these conservative groups and say, see, listen to that liberal Matt McNeil. He's all mad at me. Dude, I'm mad at you because this was an unforced error. Plain and simple. And you screwed over Biden and you screwed over the rest of the party. To quote someone from the U.S. House, you did this. Dr. Joe, when I come back, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. My next guest is a regular I've had on my show up here in the Twin Cities, but although the topic is less than pleasant, he's a delight to chat with. Dr. Joe Eastman, he's worked for NASA. He's worked for the LTER. He has also worked for Colorado State University. He's part of the University of Texas Austin COVID modeling team, and he's been helping us follow the pandemic from the beginning. He's kind enough to join us from his home in northern Minnesota. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, although it is kind of one of those things where there is just this kind of malaise. How about I say it like that in regards to COVID and what is going on in regards to where things are at. You've been doing your best to track the models. We're currently dealing with BA5, the variant BA5, which is the nasty one now. Where are things at in your mind as we in this country?
Let's see. Can I sum it up in one word? A mess.
A mess.
Yeah, I feel your malaise. I really do. At this point, I am thoroughly frustrated with our response and what's going on right now. And how long ago did I warn you about this thing? It's been over a month. Mm-hmm. We saw it coming. I knew it was coming, but. Now I am seeing things that are really starting to freak me out in terms of the numbers that are coming out of wastewater right now.
Well, what about those numbers? What about the wastewater numbers are concerning you?
Well, first of all, I'm looking at San Diego right now, and you remember back in January we had the big spike.
Yes.
The spike in the wastewater out there right now is exceeding what we saw in January. Oof. It's going up faster. I'm astounded. But there's, you remember the Three Amigos?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. These are variants that I spotted about 6 weeks ago and out of India, and they're 274, 275, and 276. Well, in the wastewater in San Diego, I'm seeing this thing called other that they don't identify is starting to surge along with the BA5. And my best guess is the Three Amigos have made it over here, and they're going to probably rear their ugly head right after this guy gets done, this BA4 and BA5 mess that we're in right now.
Going back, let's start with the numbers, the wastewater numbers that you're seeing, and with BA5, you know, it's one of the things which is interesting, though, is I was driving past a testing center. There's a testing center by my house, and I drove past there, and there was two or three cars there, but it wasn't the 20-car pileup it was a few months ago. And the question I have is, okay, is the BA5 just not coming through as strong? Are people not realizing they're sick? Or is it a case where people are just, they're so tired of COVID stuff that they're saying, okay, I'm fine, I'm sick, I'm just going to treat it as allergies or a cold, and I'm going to ignore it?
I would venture to guess it's all of the above at the moment. The one thing that we're starting to see, though, is, and it will manifest itself in the hospital numbers, is the hospitalization rates for BA5 are looking like they're going to be more than the Delta cases. It very well could happen as this thing basically explodes. I'm afraid we're not going to see the long rolling mound that we saw before. And I'm thinking this thing's going to be like a volcano here by mid-August and really, really explode.
With BA5, though, I mean, how much, you know, you and I have talked about the problem. One of the problems that we have with the vaccines is that, as opposed to a traditional vaccine path that we've taken in the past, which is factoring in multiple variants and multiple things, and it takes years to get the right formula, you take it and it's generally pretty good for whatever you're dealing with. Because we have rushed this, we're kind of much more reactionary, that the vaccines that were coming up now are for strains of the virus from a few months ago, and we're kind of doing this game of catch-up. But still, are we looking at a case where the vaccines, you're boosted, you've got both doses, you got your boosts, are you feeling is that that's going to give you any kind of level of protection, like Biden had?
Yes, it will. The good prospect is it's going to decrease hospitalization rates, in terms of developing even more severe symptoms and long COVID down the road, it's doing its trick right now in terms of kind of suppressing what we would see if we didn't have anything out there to help us out right now. So that's the good part of it. They're coming out with the new Omicron-specific vaccine in September through Moderna. Pfizer evidently dropped the ball on that one. They were supposed to have that several months ago, but it hasn't materialized yet. So this is one part that the CDC's kind of got messed up, in my opinion. They want you to wait now and get the boost from this new vaccine. But in my mind, doesn't it make sense if we're suppressing hospital numbers and severe cases with the present vaccine, let people have it right now? There's no reason not to, as far as I'm concerned. But who am I to say? I don't have the president's ear.
you had also made a comment to me, and I wanted to follow up a little bit on this. You're saying that the numbers are getting harder and harder to come by here on this stuff. You are a numbers guy. You put together these numbers. You come up with these incredibly complicated combinations, and that gives you the idea of the trends. It's not just willy-nilly. It's not just licking a finger and putting it up into the wind. You need numbers. Are you having a hard time now getting the numbers to get good analytic data?
Yes, I am having quite a bit of difficulty. You alluded to that earlier with the amount of testing that's going on. And they never put in place a system for these at-home tests where you could just report them instantly by maybe scanning with your phone or whatever. It's basically a mess right now. So my best guess is the amount of cases out there are underestimated by over an order of magnitude and possibly up to two orders of magnitude or times 100 of what we're seeing right now.
So, or up to 200, right now, or up to 200, you're saying?
Wow. I got a feeling it's a pretty large number, and like you were saying earlier, the symptoms, people have had this so many times, we're vaccinated, and the symptoms aren't manifesting themselves extremely severely, but I know plenty of people that have gotten BA5 and are fully vaccinated and boosted that have been just absolutely miserable from this bugger. So we can't just generalize things that way. You know, that every case is different and every region of the country is different. So,
your likelihood to be safer is with vaccines and boosts. And that's, I mean, we look at Joe Biden and, you know, it's like, you know, he was back at it. I mean, it's a relatively old man and, you know, here he is, he's back at work fairly quickly and with the toughest job on the planet. So, you know, I think that it does well there. I want to get back to what you were talking about with the Three Amigos. Now, in, you know, if you listen locally in Minneapolis, St. Paul, you know what we're talking about. But for everyone in Wisconsin, Dr. Joe, is one of the things that he does is keeps an eye out for new variants worldwide. And if the last time we chatted in India, there were these three variants, 274, 275, 276, which were giving some people some concern because of, you know, it was going through vaccines, it was spreading quickly. And the reality is, you and I have talked about this too, there's no borders on these planes anymore. Everyone's going everywhere. So the minute you see it, a variant pop up in a country, that you've just got to presume that that variant pretty much is everywhere at that point, correct?
That's correct. And I'm almost 100% positive it's here already. So get ready for the spike after BA5. Just in time for the fall.
Well, I mean, we used to have new TV shows in the fall. Now we get new virus variants. and once again, the ones that give you the concern, we should mention this too, the ones that give you concern are the ones that really kind of blast past any pre-vaccines, correct?
That's right. That's right. There's little we can do to control their spread right now because, you know, it's just personal anecdote. I go into stores infrequently, but when I do, I do not see any masks anymore. I feel like the emperor, you know, with no clothes, because I'm the only guy in their mask. It's pretty incredible.
Well, and I've heard from friends who have been on airplanes and they're wearing a mask, and people are like, "You don't have to wear those anymore." And you almost want to look at them as like, "Really? You just okay? Wow."
I'd go full respirator on an airplane, man.
Dr. Joey. You know, Dr. Joey Eastman is joining us right now. We've got a few minutes left here, and so let's turn to a happier topic, monkeypox. All right. So monkeypox, since you're already on the virus circuit here, we know that it started to spread. It was primarily initially spreading between, people, the gay community. Being transmitted by gay sex, but now it sounds like it's gone beyond that now, that there are multiple cases where monkeypox is showing up just because of proximity. How exactly does monkeypox spread? Is it you have to touch monkeypox to get monkeypox, or is it airborne? How does it work?
The intimate touch was the, belief before, but I've seen quite a bit of evidence. You know, you'd get it from the bed sheets, of course, that the patient was laying on, and then they unfold the bed sheets, and that spreads it in the air, and you can get it from that. That's been documented already in Europe. In fact, they had their first death from monkeypox, MPX, I call it, today. Brazil's already reported their first case, so what's happened is this bugger has mutated into another variant. Hey, we're getting very familiar with this variant stuff, aren't we? And they're cautious about the vaccines. First, we have a very small supply, less than 1 million smallpox or vaccine doses specifically for monkeypox that was updated in 2019. You can use the smallpox vaccine, but the side effects are very severe. They're worried about that. So we're kind of in this conundrum right now of, how do we get people vaccinated? Do we got to declare an emergency and ramp up the production? There's so many variables going on right now. And it can be airborne. There's evidence out there right now that it can be airborne. And, CDC, I hope they don't drop the ball again, because remember at the beginning of Corona, they said the same darn thing. And I'm seeing a kind of a repeat going on here, and it's very frustrating.
It to a point, it seems like, and we only got about a minute left here, but it seems like it's different. But right now, there seems to be some concern because it shouldn't be spreading this fast. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah. If it was transmitted like they said it, you know, used to be, or they say it is right now, there's no way. There's not enough contact between people. Rodents could carry it, but that's not the problem, obviously. So there's something more going on beyond what they're reporting. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, and it's as you have said many times, the problem with this stuff is that it's trying to figure out new ways to spread. That's what it's trying to do at this point. Dr. Joe Eastman, you can follow him on Twitter. I highly recommend you do. Jelly Roll Blues on Twitter. Jelly Roll Blues. Dr. Joe, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Matt McNeil Show, listening to it live on WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw, as well as Devil Radio 92.7 in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, and on AM 950, KTNF, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I will say, with Dr. Joe, and yes, it's bleak, folks, but he's honest, and he has the numbers to back this stuff up. You still need to be careful. You still need to get vaccinated. You still need to wear a mask, especially if you go into an indoor setting where there's a lot of people. You want to be careful. Yeah, absolutely. Just be careful there. We'll spotlight Dr. Joe so you can listen to him a little bit later on. Find the links for that on the social media pages a little bit later on. I want to go through what Joe Biden has done in less than 2 years as president of the United States. And once again, you can have an argument like Dean Phillips that it's time for the younger generation to take over. He's quite old. I get that. That's not dismissing it. My problem is that you don't do this now. You do this after the election, because the only thing you've done is you've made the campaign season a lot harder for the other Democrats. For a minimal gain, like I said, you are not going to lose that seat anyway. You didn't have to do this. Dean, you didn't have to. Just dumb, man. Joe Biden created 9 million jobs, got unemployment to 3.6%, signed the $1.2 trillion American Rescue Plan, signed the $1.2 trillion infrastructure law. He signed the first piece of gun legislation, major gun legislation in 30 years. He's confirmed 69 federal judges. He protected American. They have that new bill that's coming through protecting American, technology. You've got a health care bill, cheaper health care. You've got climate change starting to happen, trying climate change bill that's going to start to happen here. And all the work that he did as soon as he took office to try to save the United States of America from COVID, as his predecessor sat there and only made sure his buddies got vaccines. It was a nightmare. And so, no, frankly, I am 100%. Joe Biden has done a magnificent job. Should we have a discussion after the election about whether he's a nominee again? Absolutely. If he wants to, do we give that some credence? Absolutely. But we still can have a primary. You can still have a race. It has happened in the past. But please just stop with this idea that he hasn't done a lot. He's done a ton. And the problem here is that, dude, you this is just static. It's an unforced error. You just didn't need to do this. I don't know why you did. And I know that might cost me the ability to get him on the air with me, but the reality is that I just, you can't, I'm trying to win all the Democratic seats, not just yours. How about I say it like that? I'm concerned. I want Democrats to take the Minnesota House, the Minnesota Senate. I want them to take the U.S. House with a larger majority, the U.S. Senate. I want them to win over in Wisconsin. We need to have better results. I'm not just looking to win your district and that's it. 952-946-6205. All right. And that goes to any Democrat out there. Just I'll talk about it after the election. Done. Patrick, we do a little segment at the end of every week here to talk about the upcoming weekend festivals because there are so many going on and there are so many that are good. They're good. I'm going to start off with an absolutely top-notch one in Wisconsin, German Fest. Have you ever been down there for German Fest?
I have not.
Oh, man. The beer, the food, the Marktplatz, the Dachshund Derby. Who doesn't like a Dachshund Derby? Fireworks parade, lots of fun that's going on down there in Milwaukee, German Fest. I have to be careful because I was actually at Oktoberfest in Munich, and I did a strip tease on a table. I got down pretty. It was a cool autumn night, and I was, you know, those big mugs of beer they serve over there, and they serve at German Fest. You know those big ones? It's delicious. I'm just gonna say. I kept having them over and over again. And I don't think my bratwurst intake was keeping up to soak up that beer. And I did have some phone numbers afterwards, though. Hello, ladies. Oh, hallo, Damen und Frauen. And my German sucks now. But you get my point. Hola. Let's go to Butternut. I love towns named Butternut. Butternut, Wisconsin, you are up. The 62nd annual Pioneer Days in Butternut Community Park. Activities are planned for the entire family, including an art fair and fireworks show. You had better have roasted butternut squash. I'm just going to say your town is Butternut. It's kind of, you know, I'm coming in there thinking it's going to be a, you know, squash delight. But there you go. So I it might be a little too early for the butternut squashes. They're usually a little bit later in the season, but who doesn't like going to a town called Butternut? There you go. Also in Wisconsin, Stanley Lions, Stanley, Wisconsin. This is up to the east of Chippewa Falls, I believe. It's Watermelon Festival. Watermelon. And here's, this might be the selling part here. Free watermelon. Yes. Yes. See, that's Caligula with watermelon. That's what I expect when you put a fruit or a vegetable or a food item on your festival. I get out of my car and people are like, here you go. I'm like, hello. Celebration also has a flea market, car show, chicken dinner, children's games, more. That actually happens on Sunday in Stanley, Wisconsin. Hello, Stanley. I might be coming out to visit you. To Minnesota side, hey, they've got a big corn statue. It's Olivia, Minnesota, the southern part of the state, corn capital of the world, for Corn Capital Days, featuring the famous sweet corn feed. Hello. Musical entertainment, Corn Capital Run. I hope it's the Corn Capital Run's right now after the corn feed, because that could end up going horribly wrong. Hey, who wants more butter? And run! Kitty Parade, Grand Parade, Lions Club, Flying Breakfast. What? Fly? I mean, you can make pancakes. They're just, you don't have to fly them in. They're not. Oh, look how exotic the pancakes are. No, you can just make them there. All right. But there you go. Corn, that's Olivia, Minnesota. That's going on this weekend. In fact, it's been going on all week long. Boy. There, that is a corn. Dilworth Loco Days, up in the northwestern part of the state, Clay County. Leads into free games, family games at the community center. Italian Traditions. Yes. Saturday night, the famous Italian dinner. they'll be serving it at 5:30 p.m. Festivities continue through the evening of all ages. Concert, there you go. You got Italian food up in Dilworth. I got to love that one. I should mention in Wisconsin, gosh, you got so many county fairs going on this weekend. Tons of those. But my winner this week, and you knew it the second I saw it, beautiful Ely, Minnesota, up in the northeastern part of the state. It is basically closer to Canada than it is to Duluth. It's Blueberry Festival up there. Caligula with blueberries. Yes. Yes. Now, it's good that they're having it again. They actually had a bad weather come through, I think it was last year, and took out a bunch of the park, unfortunately. They're back again. 280 exhibits with arts, food offerings, and blueberry action. All right. Madison, Waukesha, Milwaukee, you got Devil Radio coming up. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, hour number two here. No, 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 no. Don't do that, man. What are you doing? Am I going to vote for Dean Phillips? Of course I am. Of course I am, Patrick. Of course I am. But your only goal, whatever your point was with this, because I still can't figure out what his point was with this. Whatever your point was with this, it shouldn't just be about you winning in your race at the expense of everyone else, because I guarantee you everyone else in the state and nationwide now has to answer the Dean Phillips question.
Yep, absolutely. It was a very strangely timed statement. Like you said, in the last hour, he could have waited until the day after the election in November.
And no one would have cared.
No one would have cared, but it kind of drives a wedge. It's kind of a sudden, a little bit of a momentum stopper for the Democrats, because now they have to deal with this.
You're exactly right. And, you know, here's the DFL today, and they're bringing up the point that Scott Jensen now is frantically trying to get rid of, away from his previous statements. In May, he was out there saying, no acceptance for rape or incest unless the mother's life is in danger. So rape and incest, nope, he's okay with those, forcing people to be re-victimized after that. And carrying that to term. He's now basically trying to, hey, where did you get the idea? I'm an extremist. But now I guarantee you Republicans are the dark money groups are getting ready to run ads in this state. It's like the Democrats in Minnesota, the DFL in Minnesota, isn't even on the same page with the top of the ticket. Like I said, it's selfish. And Dude, I can't think of any other freaking reason you would do this. You're not going to lose the third district. You're not. You weren't even, I highly doubt it, for God's sakes. Unless you got some scandals coming out, which I don't think you do. You're not going to lose the third. You didn't need to do this. You didn't need to bolster numbers. You pissed off a lot of Democrats today. I mean, you pissed off a lot of Democrats, Dean Phillips. You did. And is that your game? So you can, you know, now you've got your moderate cred. So the moderate Republicans will let you sit with them at their lunch table. It's just dumb, man. And it, I mean, I don't think you've got a bill that's up that you're desperately trying to get Republicans on to vote with. I'm going to vote for you because I'm not a freaking idiot. But I don't like this, man. And I don't have a problem with either you, A, supporting a different candidate in the election, or B, making a point that maybe we shouldn't go with the oldest people in the DFL or the Democratic Party as the leaders. I can understand that. That's actually not the most outrageous statement you can make. My problem is you could have saved this to the day after the election. There is no reason on the freaking planet you had to bring this up. And now every journalist, especially considering they run on the right side, is going to be, are you on Team Dean? Are you on Team Biden? Are you on Team Dean? Are you on Team Biden? That's what's going to be. So once again, to all the Democrats out there, if you're listening to me, please, just here it is. You know what? Dean Phillips is entitled to his opinion. I've got my own opinion, but right now my main focus is this election, the 2022 election. I'm trying to win that. I am not concerning myself with the presidential election of 2024 until I win this seat. Thank you very much. And you're done. Why in the hell Dean Phillips didn't say that? I don't know. Selfish. I mean, I am at a loss. If you have got any idea why he did this, what motivation, if you've got something that I'm not aware of, is there a bill? Is there Is there, is there something else going on? Did Biden and him have a fight or something like that? I don't know. It really was disappointing the lackluster description of Joe Biden that you put out there, though. That's you know, he has done a lot for you. And when you're out there, you know, trying to take credit for the infrastructure bill or fighting climate change, you should thank Joe Biden. I'm not saying you have to support him in the next presidential election, but you sure, maybe the problem with Joe Biden's approval numbers isn't the fact that he isn't getting stuff done. It's the fact that there are way too many freaking Democrats that are willing to throw him under the bus because they think that the cool kids on the moderate Republican side will let me sit at their table. Oh my God, it's going to be awesome. Fetch ain't going to happen, dude. Fetch ain't going to happen. Emmanuel. Jesus. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Blueberry Festival is up in Ely, man. You going to go up there this year? You're in town this weekend. You got to work, right?
Yep, I am here tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday.
You are? Okay,
yep,
wow.
So I will have to make my own Blueberry Festival happen here in the studio.
I don't want to let me know. Lock the door and let me know when that happens so I don't interrupt you. I don't want to be involved in any of that stuff. I want to sleep at night. I might do that. I might. The Watermelon Festival over in Wisconsin doesn't sound bad. Free watermelon on Sunday. That's not that far away. I might have to. It's always kind of fun. I always like it out in the small towns. These festivals are always, they're usually putting on their best. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. They don't have too much of an update on this, but there is a bit of an update on this. They apparently have contacted and identified the person on in Edina. Police in Edina investigating an incident in which the noose was hung in a community center say this week they've identified a suspect. In a brief statement on Friday, police say the suspect is a juvenile boy. The announcement comes one day after police asked for the public's help identifying the white teenage boy who'd been seen on surveillance video near the scene. The investigation began Tuesday when in Edina, public schools, they discovered the noose. One second here. I got to shuffle through my briefs here. I've lost it. It's gone. Technology is lost on me. It is not a good thing. Oh, there it is. They found the noose harnessed in the implement on the building's roof and hung it on the courtyards. The Edina Community Center just is right there on, what is it, Benton and 100. Police on Friday thanked the public for their help identifying the suspect. But now it's a juvenile. You know, they'll deal with it. I would say this, and I said this yesterday. If it's a kid of a really wealthy person, please make sure you do something here. Please don't allow someone to write a check to, this is unacceptable. And racism can't be erased by, oh, well, we're going to be able to pave the parking lot. No. The only way you're going to send a message that this stuff is not acceptable is by holding these people that are doing this stuff accountable. And, letting mom and dad buy their way out of, little junior buying his way out of problems doesn't do help. And I don't know what's going to happen here, but I will say this. I get the definite impression that there is a lot of people in the law enforcement at Edina and as well other places that are wanting to see some sort of solution here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I did want to get to the Minnesota COVID update because they now have this thing weekly. And with, of course, having Dr. Joe on last hour. The COVID-19 statistics in Minnesota are mixed with little indication of the direction of the pandemic other than to say that the coronavirus is not going away. New infections held steady in the state on a daily average of 1,402 the week ending July 22nd, according to Thursday's state situation update. Viral levels in the Twin Cities wastewater, though, declined by 8% last week. But 1,402 is actually pretty high compared, I think it was at 1,200 the week before, so that's quite a bit more. Severe COVID-19 levels haven't worsened, but they haven't improved either. The 417 COVID-19 hospitalized on Tuesday, 36 in intensive care, reflected a stagnant number of infected patients this summer. So that's kind of staying the same there as well. In the past week, Minnesota verified another 46 COVID-19 deaths, and the average daily about 6. That's a slight increase this month, but below last winter's peak of 39 per day. High immunity levels are likely playing a protective role against a severe illness, but the dominant BA.5 coronavirus subvariant is showing up a unique ability to infect people, even though they had recent COVID-19 cases or vaccinations. Hey, by the way, as opposed to just beat up on Joe Biden, maybe, I don't know, this might seem crazy. You might want to talk about those Republican policies towards the pandemic in the state of Minnesota and what they wanted to do when we had this worst going on, because that was 39 per day on average. That was when that was happening. If the Republicans had their way, it would have been much higher. You know, if you're looking for something to sell your campaign on, there you go. High immunity levels are likely playing a protective role against severe illness, but the dominant BA.5 coronavirus subvariant is showing a unique ability to infect people even if they had recent COVID-19 cases or even vaccinations, as Dr. Joe had mentioned as well. The Metropolitan Wastewater Treatment Plant in St. Paul is already tracking the BA.275, which is designated a variant of interest by the World Health Organization. So it's over in St. Paul now. It appeared in several counties. Some variants with the designation have prompted the new COVID-19 waves as others have fizzled. The new variant did not emerge in the latest Twin Cities sampling, which found the BA.5 made up 70% of the viral load last week. Wastewater sampling is considered to be a stable tracker of COVID-19 activity. I also did quickly here want to make sure I mention Minnesota's largest STD and HIV clinic says monkeypox vaccinations have been given to over 200 patients who've reported to a known exposure to the virus. At the Red Door in Minneapolis, there aren't enough doses available statewide to vaccinate patients for prevention, despite many being considered eligible, according to Allison Thrash, a spokesperson for Hennepin County Public Health. The vaccinations at the clinic have thus far only been administered to patients for post-exposure or known as after known monkeypox exposure. As of Thursday, over 200 doses have been administered. Doug Schultz, a spokesperson for the Minnesota Department of Health, said the state has so far received 3,000 doses of the vaccine. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, vaccinations given within 4 days from the first date of monkeypox exposure may prevent the onset of the disease. Vaccinations given within 4 to 14 days after the first date of exposure may not prevent infection, but decrease the severity of the illness. 952-946-6205. Let's go to the phone lines. Flo is in Minneapolis. Hi, Flo. How are you today?
Hi, Matt.
Hiya.
Just a reminder.
Yes.
August 9th, the second Tuesday, is the all-important primary election. Polls are open from 7 in the morning until 8 at night. Early voting is also possible.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of important races. We've got, of course, every 2 years, we have the congressional seats as well as the state legislative district seats. We have the governor, lieutenant governor, Secretary of State, Auditor, Attorney General, and Hennepin County Sheriff.
And Attorney.
And Attorney. Both.
Yes.
Hennepin County Attorney as well as the Hennepin County Sheriff. And it's important that people vote straight all the way down everything DFL.
Now, if I, Flo, can I step in for a quick second here?
I am not now and never have been a Republican.
That wasn't what I was going to say there, Flo. But let me hold on a quick second, Flo. I'll get back. We'll talk to you in a second. Just two things I want to mention here. First of all, there are some Democratic races where there are primary challenges. So, you know, when she says vote straight Democratic ticket, there are some choices on the Democratic side in certain races. Also, I did want to mention the Hennepin County Attorney's race, the Hennepin County Sheriff's race. Those are non-political races. The two top vote getters in each of those races on the primary day will face off in the general election coming up in November. How did I do, Flo? Did I do that right?
Yeah, and it's important that you vote the endorsed and progressive candidate. Because the Republicans have become a theocratic fascist party.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, yes. Flo, thank you. You're a delight. Now, I will say just one thing to correct Flo on here. There's the endorsed candidate, by all means. There is a lot of people that are not the endorsed candidate. Educate yourself and vote. My job here is not to tell you who to vote for or who not to vote for. Sometimes, like I've said, even though he's kind of upset me, I'll vote for Dean Phillips. I'll sometimes say that. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. That's on you. You go educate yourself, figure out who you like, and then make your vote accordingly. Now, that being said, I will say she's absolutely right. And, you know, there are a lot of people that as soon as this Dean Phillips thing said is like, well, that's the end of him. No. No, it's not. I would like to have moderate Democrats that are not so quick to throw the rest of the party under the bus. That's just me. And that's not just Dean Phillips. I mean, for God's sakes, that's been a problem with the Democratic Party here for the last 25 years, 30 years, is that the moderates are, you know, if it's not their way, they'll run to the other side and say, ha. And for some reason, the Democratic Party leadership says, oh, we're totally okay with you turning your back on the rest of the party. I don't understand that. That doesn't happen on the Republican side. And it's one of the reasons why a lack of solidified platform that if you want to be a DFL or you want to be a Democrat, you have to agree to these issues. Quality education, clean energy, women's right to choose, free health care. I mean, these are just tentpole issues. They should be on everyone's docket. I'm going to vote Democrat. That's not a question. Absolutely. I'm going to vote Democrat. I hope you all as well vote Democrat. Because you're not going to fix this problem. I mean, did you see Alito? You see Alito? Justice Alito is white trash. He is a beer-bellied, sleeveless shirt hick who just happened to get himself into a black robe on the Supreme Court. And I say this because he's out there trash-talking European leaders that disagree with his ruling. And it's just that petty, small Republican, as long as I'm owning the libs, as long as I'm owning the libs. That's the only thing. It's going after their perceived villains. That is who they are. That is what we've got. And the only way you're going to solve that, is by voting Democrat for 12 years, every election, every primary, period. It frustrates me. I think Dean Phillips, as one of his constituents now, knows I'm a little frustrated. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other Democrats that have let him know that he's frustrated. He might not even care. I don't know. He might not even care. He might not even care what the Democrats think, because he clearly seems to be only trying to worry about the feelings of a handful of moderate Republicans. But, you know, I'm still going to vote for the guy. And maybe, just maybe next election we should ask the question of, should he be primary? I don't know. All I do know is that this has been a disa-freaking-pointing day. How about I say it like that? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. All about. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. No, I've had a lot of people who've said the same thing, who have said the same exact thing that about Dean Phillips, is that, you know, they like the guy, but God, sometimes I don't believe you should whittle a political party down to a base core of a finite amount of followers. I just don't. I think it's one of the reasons why the Green Party has always had trouble getting traction in this country, and the Libertarian Party is that they're geared to a very small subset of the population. And it's not that those people, I know there are a lot of people out there that love those parties, and that's great, but it's just that they have a fairly narrow appeal. And that's one of the reasons why, outside of unique situations, that they've not been able to become a viable larger third party to, you know, be a part of a more decision-making processes in this country. I have often said, I think that it is very hard to have a political party which stretches the distance from Bernie Sanders to all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. The old Minnesota 7 Republican up there, or Democrat that was up there. Before he lost.
Jim Oberstar?
No, that Oberstar was 8. That was
I'm sorry. I got my district mixed up. Oh gosh, I forgot his name too. Colin Peterson.
Colin Peterson, thank you. Colin Peterson and thank you, by the way, and Bernie Sanders, they should not be in the same political party. They are really wildly different. And there are some things on your party platform that I guarantee that Bernie Sanders is not going to be on board with. And there are going to be a lot of things on your party platform that Colin Peterson are there. So you're just setting yourself up for frustration when it comes time to try to pass bills. And, you know, I said this back in the 3 o'clock hour, it's almost comical how many times you'll see the moderate Democrats, when they want to get a bill passed, it's like, hey, who's the progressives in the house? Love you, teammates. You guys are great. And then the very next bill, it's, oh, that's way too liberal for me. I'm sorry. I know you voted for my bill, but I mean, no. I want to sit with the Republicans in the lunch area. Come on, man. I don't mind you being a moderate, but if you're going to be a moderate, the first part of your allegiance should be to the Democrats, to the DFL. Tim Walz, one of the reasons why I'm a fairly loyal Tim Walz voter is Tim Walz is a moderate. He always has been a moderate. Always has. I've had him on the show. I've interviewed him. He has given some of the best Democratic answers to questions I have ever heard. At no point did he sound like Looney Libby. He was just sounded like a Democrat because he agreed with the issues. And frankly, I agree with him. He that's why it's easy to support him. As a moderate, probably more moderate than I am. I don't have a problem with the Democrats saying to themselves, okay, here are our 4 or 5 major tentpole issues. You have to be on board with this legislation. You have to be on board with this legislation if you're going to be part of the DFL. I have no problem with that. You have to support the presidential candidate, the top of the party, until you get to the election cycle where they're up for debate again. That should be, I mean, that's politics 101. I mean, that's just common sense. That's just common sense. I think that if we're really going to change things, I do agree with Dean Phillips on one thing. I think it is time for younger, a younger class to take over. But let me make sure I'm very clear about this. It seems to me, at least from what I'm seeing from my perspective here, the direction the Democrats want to go in this country is not more towards the moderate, not to try to suck up to 20 or 30 Republican voters. They want to find their progressive base, free health care. Let's get rid of freaking assault weapons. How about we start that? You know, trying to save the planet from economic disaster and not basically throwing the rest of the party under the bus saying, well, these Republican, moderate Republicans, they said they're going to go talk to the auto industry if I go along with it, and I don't want them mad at me. You can tell I am just, why did you do this? Why did you not wait? What value did you have doing this outside of throwing a few firebombs on every other Democratic race you could find? I don't know. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, I'd love them having them on the air, but they declined my offer. I'll take a break. Come on back. I'll get into some other subjects. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Some dancing coming up here in a little bit. Walker Orenstein's got a really good story over here at MinnPost. Republican State Senator Gene Dornick had to move from his home in Hayfield to residence in Brownsdale after the borders of his southern Minnesota district were changed following the 2020 census. But Keith Haskell, owner of an auto detailing business with a criminal background, who recently was the campaign manager for Dornick's Republican primary challenger, Lisa Hansen, suspected Dornick wasn't really living in his new district during a crucial period for determining residency. So he visited each home, he says many times, videotaping as he went and documenting what he saw. Let me get this right. You were videotaping other people's families. Okay. At the time, absolutely no traffic, no overnight vehicles, no lights on, shades constantly open, no lights on day or night, Haskell told MinnPost on Friday. Cars that occasionally parked there had lots of just general debris indicating they'd been there for a while. So when we started chalking tires and things like that to see if they were moved. So they were going onto people's property and defacing their property to determine if they were moving their vehicles. Okay. I like where this is going. That work is the basis for a petition to the Minnesota Supreme Court, one Dornick has called frivolous, seeking to throw the Republican-endorsed incumbent off the ballot entirely. Judy Olson of Glenville on Friday filed the paperwork which accuses Dornick of not living in Senate District 23. The filing names Haskell as the petitioner's investigative expert. This is an absurd complaint. Dornick has written a written statement to reporters. I've been living at the home in Brownsdale, since May. Maybe these investigators don't see me the six or times they visited because I'm working during the day and campaigning in the evening. I've been getting a great reception at the doors, parades, and fairs, and I will continue on the campaign trail. Chief Justice Lori Goldea ordered Olson, the petitioner, to detail while the legal challenge could not have been filed earlier. Absentee voting for the primary began on June 24th. Others have until Monday to respond to the petition. The filing is part of a contentious race that has pitted two Republicans against each other in a district where Dornick only 2 years ago ousted a longtime Democratic incumbent from Austin. It was also one of the handful of districts where an incumbent GOP senators have been challenged by candidates on their political right. Hansen rose to prominence for defying Tim Walz's pandemic restrictions at her Albert Lee Wine Bar, which I think is now closed. And she was even sentenced to jail time for keeping her business open in the winter of 2020. And she has criticized Dornick, claiming he's not conservative enough or fighting against Democratic leadership hard enough. I'm kind of, you know, concerned a little bit about what that implies. Haskell, who has an electrical background that includes leading a church of lay pastor, declined to say if he was hired or paid to work and look into Dornick's residency. He said he was a campaign manager for Hansen early in the year, but recently quit because it was too much of a time commitment. Haskell said he has decades of experience of investigations, including security and anti-shoplifting work. His declaration to the court says he first visited Dornick's properties in Hayfield and Glenville on May 8th and stopped first at the senator's Browndale address in the district on May 25th. Haskell said he had heard rumors that Dornick did not live there and spoke with neighbors who reported little traffic. His most recent visit was mid-July when he said three vehicles owned by Dornick were at the property. The shades were pulled. The lights were on. So he was there. Oh, God. Haskell's had legal problems. In 2018, he was convicted of impersonating a police officer. Jesus. After chasing a car, two teens who had suspected stolen snacks worth $10 from an Owatonna grocery store. The judge found Haskell used tear gas on one of the teens after the teen started to assault him during an altercation, which once again he started. He also pled guilty to a theft charge in South Dakota. More recently, early this year, Haskell was cited for driving with a suspended license in Winona. Sure, this will make up for all of it, dude. I'm sure you'll go on a date. Whatever. See, this is what we should be talking about. This. They're a clown car brigade. There is no reason to be talking about other things. They're a clown car brigade. I can give you a list of topics, for God's sakes. I've got notes, tons of them, on all these guys. If you're looking for someone to talk about, to chew a little of the bone on, my goodness, just let me know. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Here's an ugly story. Calls are growing for a Columbia Heights City Council member to resign after she allegedly made racist comments about a candidate running for the council and questioned his racial identity. Wow. Justice Spriggs, one of seven candidates running for two at-large council seats, said he got a phone call last weekend from a number belonging to a sitting council member, KT Jacobs. The caller, Spriggs said, gave a fake name and posed as a concerned citizen. Then the caller berated him about his ideals and qualifications for office and questioned if his ancestry was legitimate, he said. Wow. Spriggs shared details of the phone conversation during an open forum portion of the Monday City Council meeting. Wow. This is not about my campaign. This is about how a sitting city council member treats the people they represent, Spriggs said. Additionally, as someone who would like to see more transparency from City Hall, this is absolutely appalling to me that a sitting council member lied about their identity to a constituent. Jacobs, who is not up for re-election, acknowledged in an email that the call was placed from her personal cell phone, but said the call was made by an extended family member who was not authorized to use it. Well, if that's the case, then you need to tell us who that is. You can't just say, it was that guy over there. Oh, didn't you see him? He went around the corner of the building. Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Because I can tell you right now, I mean, I don't know about you, Patrick. When you are around extended family members, are you leaving your phone unlocked, just sitting around for someone to, if they want to call a potential candidate for a city council office race and berate them about their ancestry and race, that that they have the opportunity to do that?
I can't say I've ever done that before.
No, you have not. I haven't not left a phone unlocked, mind you, because do they sell a phone nowadays that doesn't have like a face lock that you can just leave open all the time? I guess you can set it that way.
Yeah, there are ways you can get around it, but yeah, I don't think I've ever been in that position before.
Well, it's not like Blade Runner 2049 where you have to hold the face up. I mean, it's yeah, I think you got to I'm starting to I'm sniffing out something, maybe a flaw or two in the story. I don't know there. I mean, you're required there because I can tell you right now too, just the way these things are attached to our bodies. Unless I'm like, working in the garden, because if I go work out, my phone's with me because that's all my music. So maybe if I'm working in the garden, I don't have it, but I would probably notice my third cousin out there making racist comments to someone on, hey, that looks like my phone. I probably would notice that. I'm starting to sniff out a problem with the story. I understand that I'm ultimately responsible for the consequences, Jacob said in a statement. As an elected official in this community, I take my duties very seriously. Words expressed by my family member to Mr. Spriggs do not in any way reflect my own opinions and values. I'm deeply sorry the incident took place. Who is the person? At this point, you can't throw someone under the bus and not throw them under the bus. You got to let us know who did this.
Was that the father's brother's cousin's nephew's former roommate?
It could have been. We got a wreath now? That's West Virginia. Never mind. Fun family trees. Sorry. But this extended family member. So wait a minute here. You got an extended family member at your house and you're not visiting with them? Okay, so, hey, look, it's the cousins I haven't seen in 20 years from California. Great to see you guys. Come on in. I'm going to go out and do some chores. You just guys sit here and just, hey, here's my phone. I'm going to let me open that up for you in case you want to make any phone calls, all right? All right, talk to you later. Is that what you're saying happened? If extended family showed up, I think you would be hosting, wouldn't you? And if you are having a party and you put your phone down, wouldn't you notice your cousin? Where's Aunt Mabel? And why is she saying all the racist stuff on my phone? I'm sniffing out some problems here I have with the story. That's a little bit of an issue there. Jacob said she apologized to Spriggs before the Monday meeting. She's also apologized to her council colleagues and the residents of the North Metro suburb. The council will meet in special session at 5:30 p.m. on Monday to discuss launching a formal investigation in the matter. I think you should. On Friday, more than 200 people had signed an online petition calling for Jacobs, whose term ends in 2025, to resign. They also have planned a KT must resign rally at 5 p.m. on Monday outside of City Hall. That's not a good sign for you. Our community has been dealing with both overt and covert racism from community leaders for long enough. It has to end here and now, rally organizers said on a Facebook post. Let's make sure that KT cannot harass another Black, Latinx, Indigenous, Asian, or another marginalized person again from her position of leadership on the city council. During the two-hour phone call, the woman who contacted Spriggs asked if he was raised in a white household or a Black household, if he was Black enough to call himself biracial, and which of his family members were people of color, Spriggs said. Wow, you are horrible. Horrible. Are we getting into hate crime territory here, aren't we? We're getting into hate crime territory, aren't we? You gotta tell us who the extended family member is. You can't just, I'm not going to say it's a secret. You can't know who the secret racist family member is. Spriggs said he replied that his grandparents married in 1968 and that his parental grandfather was a World War II veteran who fought on D-Day. Spriggs, who is 25 and a fourth-year medical student at the University of Minnesota, said the incident has been disheartening and upsetting. Yes, I would agree with that. As a young person trying to participate in our democracy, it is very frustrating to be called out and questioned on the basis of your identity and upbringing. I have no doubt why underrepresented people in the city don't step up and have their voices heard and participate in our democracy. Okay. I don't know what happened here. Have I said that clearly enough? I don't know what happened here. Could this have been, someone getting a few drinks in them and doing that? Could have been. I don't know who. My experience has been that when stuff like this does happen, alcohol sometimes is involved. Yeah, it is. I know. Shock. But what it happens is the person who might have the wherewithal to prevent their bigoted and racist opinions from just spilling out like a fjord will actually keep them in if they're sober. But all of a sudden, let me tell you about this. And we've all had that, haven't we? We've all had that guy at the bar. Let me tell you something about the Scottish. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, this will be interesting. Go right ahead. I know more Scottish jokes than anyone else, so go to town. Yes, McNeil is Scottish. I don't know what happened here. It doesn't sound like it's someone sane. Now, granted, I just saw a video of some clown down in Iowa. Just saw some, pro-choice protesters and starts getting out of a car and starts swinging at him and like hit eight of them before the police finally arrested him. And, you know, it just was, yeah, just wild stuff, man. Some people are just really angry, but okay. Your story is an extended family member got your phone for an extended period of time. How long did he say that this phone call was for? The 2-hour phone call. 2 hours. Someone had your phone for 2 hours and you had no idea? An extended family member? And you left that phone unlocked so that extended family member who you weren't visiting with because they're an extended family member visiting you. I don't know what the story is, but I can tell you right now, you got it. You know, if you want to keep your city council seat, if you want to keep your city council seat, then you need to complete the cycle, which means you need to expose the family member that did this and condemn them with the harshest terms. If you do that, then you know what? I think, you know, you're setting a standard there and you're being done with it. But if you're going to sit there and just kind of be coy about it and try not to say, I don't want to tell you, well, maybe we should look at hate crime charges, because that sure sounds like a hate crime to me. It kind of does. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll talk thermostats when I come back and some music for dancing. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. By the way, a few things here coming up. First of all, we got Ettinger on the air with us on Monday. Ettinger is going to join us on Monday. Also on Monday, I'm going to be in two more markets here. Tell your friends in Wisconsin, starting on Monday, we're going to be on WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, and then locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM and 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point. Hello! More people to hate me. So that's coming up here. Also, we're going to have one of the members of the cast from Sweat, from where the Guthrie, join us and talk about that production. And matter of fact, that's a great character, Stan, the character Stan. We'll talk with him next Tuesday, I think it is, before I go in a little bit on a vacation. I'll get more to that here in a little bit. So Axios Twin Cities did a where do you keep your air conditioning thermostat on in your house? Now, Patrick, on your house, where do you set your thermostat?
Typically, it gets stuck around 76, 78. That's not, I don't get to set it, so that's a little higher than I would, but that's kind of what it is.
All right, so yeah, that is a little high there. We're at 73. I think I've noticed that 72 gets a little cool. It gets a little too cool down there at 73, or 72, 70, so I like 73, 74. The vast majority of people prefer the AC between 74 and 78 during the day. Drop it a little cooler at night. The low 70s, upper 60s. There's a big range of responses, though, that Axios received on this. Thermostat as low as 66 in the summer. Dear Lord, you're keeping corpses in there. On the other end of the spectrum, some people have their thermostats at 80 on the hottest days. You go to the south, that's where AC is at. It's like 80, 85. Ugh. Mary C. said she kept her thermostat between 68 and 69. My husband works outside all day, so this landscaping crew, so we keep it cool. Energy cost to spike, which means Julian M. has it 73 to 75. Austin has it up to 80. Wow. So yeah, I don't change it during the day. I just leave it at the one temperature. But it is interesting because there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people that have a lot of different, you know, ideas of where that's at. And My daughter, for some reason, the other day, went up there and took the thermostat and turned it down to 67. And I'm like, I'm in the basement. I'm like, are we storing frozen food in here? I mean, it got cold. If you get used to that, it gets cold, and it gets cold pretty fast. That's for sure. I will say, too, have you ever had someone from the South come up here and come to your house? And all of a sudden they come in and they are morbid at how cold your house is. Because like I said, you're in the South, ACs down there are like 78, 80. In Texas, they're like 82. Phoenix, my grandmother had it at 85. She had it at 85. It's not too cool for you. I'm like, no, Grandma, I'm fine. I'll get you another wool blanket. No, I'm good. I'm lying naked on the tile floor. She's trying to, hey, we'll get you an alpaca sweater. I don't need that, Grandma. I'm fine. So there you go. A little levity from Axios Twin Cities. It's time for some dancing. Kenny Loggins helping us out today. Oh, yes. From the great movie Caddyshack. God, what a good movie that is. All right. You have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. I'm going to go get some blueberries maybe up in Ely. You have a wonderful time. We are back on a Monday. Until then, see ya. Do.